Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org. Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. On today's episode, David Mathis and Joe Rigney discuss the question, how can Christians avoid smartphone addiction? Let's listen in.
How can Christians avoid smartphone addiction? Okay, so this is obviously one of the major pastoral issues I think everybody is having to face, right?
It is.
So this is an unusual, I don't think, if you'd have said 15 years ago, what's one of the main pastoral challenges you're going to have in your ministry? Like if somebody, I moved up here, you moved up here 17 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, I moved up here in 05. If you just asked us then, hey, what do you think one of the main just kind of practical pastoral challenges you're going to deal with in the course of your ministry? There's no way on God's green earth that I would have said, oh, smartphones, because they didn't exist.
That's right.
Like they didn't exist. And then now I think anytime when we're preaching at our church and we make an application to technology and smartphones, there's an immediate, like you can feel it palpably from our people that there's a hunger for like, yes, we feel like there's something wrong here and we just don't know exactly what to do because we feel like they're so essential, quote unquote, to living. They're so useful in so many ways, and yet there feels like there's something that's off.
And even 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
yeah.
I don't know that people were sensing the need as much as they increasingly are.
Right. So there's a time lag between, oh, this feels fine, and then all of a sudden something shifts. And so I think one of the first things is just admitting you have a problem. So, and I think the more that we admit that it's a problem, not just for individuals as though, okay, there's probably two or three smartphone addicts in our church. No, there's probably an addictive culture in your church related to smartphone. Everybody's is different. And one of the things about smartphones that can mask it is that one person uses their smartphone for Instagram, and another person it's Twitter, another person it's texting, another person it's pornography. And so at one level, it feels like those are very different sorts of things. And they are. There's a different gradation depending on what form it's taking. But the common root there matters because, you know, so when it comes to the pornography thing, for example, that when I was in college and that was a live struggle for me, it was all computer-oriented. And it was harder than it was for somebody who grew up 30 years ago where it was magazine-oriented or something like that. And it's very different, though, if you have a brothel in your pocket. Like, that's just a totally different level of struggle. So that's different. But then the more innocuous forms are often just as addictive. It's just a different little dose of dopamine that's coming your way as opposed to the sexually charged one. So I think first thing is just to admit and recognize that if you're a pastor or if you're a layperson, you're not the only one, and this is a more widespread problem, and you need to admit that it is a real problem. And kind of like the people who are addicted to cigarettes or something like that have a real hard time admitting, I'm an addict. All of us have a sense of like, I could probably stop. It'd probably be fine. But can we? And so admitting how much of a problem. So I think that's probably the first thing is just to really face it squarely that these little devices that we have been designed by some of the smartest people on the planet to make sure that you're on them all the time and you're not Superman. So that'd be a place to start. I think maybe the second thing that comes to mind, this is just me thinking about how and me and my wife, as we talk about our patterns with them, is impulse in the morning. So you wake up and you're in that kind of semi-conscious fog And it's an amazing thing how immediately my mind goes to, I want to check my email. I want to check online and see what's going on. And the phone is my, that's what my alarm clock is. It's sitting right next to the bed. And so it's real easy to do that, sort of at the beginning of the day. And then at the end of the day, comparatively, right? So last thing before I, that's the last thing that goes on the nightstand. And I'm trying my best to resist that all the time at the bookends of the day. Because, it's a useful thing. It's actually like I'm trying to turn it into a prompt, because it's sort of like I can feel the urge and then go, what that urge, where do I want to take that? Where do I want to take that first moment is I need to pray and I need to have some Bible. And I've gotten to the point where it's like I need to do Bible, and I need to do Bible not on my phone. So I don't need to pull up my app, because that's actually probably going to, it's not going to work well. I need to go get a hard copy. I need to go sit in my chair with a Bible that has olive leaf paper, and I need to read it with the phone over there. And then, having prayed, having done that, usually then it's time to start getting the kids up. And so there's actually a refreshing, like, oh, my phone's over there, and all of a sudden I'm looking around for it because I got to get out the door. Those are the good mornings. There's like a refreshing, like, oh, okay, I didn't even need the morning initial thrust towards, hey, check it. If I resist that and get to prayer, Bible, and then now responsibilities, all of a sudden when I'm heading out the door, I'm like, oh, that was good. That was a good morning. I feel different than if I had been sort of scrolling around the house for 30 minutes before the kids woke up.
That's right. Yeah, I think one angle of approach on the question is how to get over smartphone addiction is get a bigger vision. Get a bigger sense of what your life is for, what your life is about. And so to pray first thing and to pray last thing, rather than check the world, talk to God instead of check the world. And then to hear His voice, let His voice be the first one you hear in the morning. And then just to think, is your life lacking in big, significant things that you find yourself continuing to go to the cesspool of two-dimensional apps? not to rule out all the good things that many things do, like the map app that got me here this morning. Right. But it does raise the question, is there something bigger you should be giving yourself to? There's better dopamine in aerobic exercise than there is in social media.
That's right. Physical training is of some value.
That's right.
I'm not sure.
There's some value in getting over smartphone addiction too, perhaps. But
that's right.
But even more so than that, godliness is a value in every way. And for guys like us who have the gift and responsibility of a wife, yes, and of kids, one of the great tragedies is to live with such gifts and count them as small things, or to count them as an annoyance, or to count them as pulling us away from these amazing and silly devices that we carry around.
Yeah. To that point, there's a great... my kids will sometimes, they'll comment on it. They'll make the comment. And it's easy. It's a check. That you're talking about how to get over, how do you respond when your spouse, or more often it's your kids, who are like, hey, Dad, can you not be on your phone right now while we're doing whatever we're doing? And it's easy to get defensive and say, well, it was important. I was texting someone. It was important. I was checking an email. It was important. And it's like, well, if it was important, is it important enough to actually set aside time where that's the important thing I'm doing, as opposed to it being just in the course of my interaction with my family? And so to receive that, you know, rebuke from a child as a gift from the Lord to reorient helps. Like the bigger vision is both bigger vision of God, and then, like you said, the responsibilities that we have to love others, especially those in our care.
And just a little small thing. But personal experience here, I find extended time on the smartphone is depleting. It's draining. I come away and my eyes feel strange. Emotionally, I feel like I have less energy. Whereas when I do something with my body to help somebody else, like take a box down to the basement for my wife, or go outside and play with the kids, or do something where I expend energy in the company and service of others, I feel better. And there's brain chemistry behind that too, not just spiritual significance. And so one thing about these phones is also how inactive they make us. And God didn't make us to be inactive. And that's one thing to fight in the process.
Yeah. So maybe the accidental times where we have this experience, right, where you leave your phone at home and you go for a walk and all of a sudden you realize it, and there's that initial moment of panic.
Yeah, that's right.
Like fear. Oh no, what am I going to do? Which fairly quickly will give way to a kind of refreshing freedom.
That's right. It does.
And those often happen accidentally. Mm-hmm. And so one way to resist smartphone addiction, a very practical way, would be to don't make those accidents. Make those intentional. Make those, I'm going to put it over there. I'm going to put it up. And if that means my phone blows up because of a bunch of texts, fine. If that means that I miss a few emails, great. If that means I miss Twitter, even better. I'm putting it over there because I want to deliberately remove this shackle, not accidentally remove the shackle.
You know, I found out recently, I was having some trouble with my phone for some reason. It was how it was picking up the reception, the SIM card or whatever. And so to get it to reset, I had to turn the thing off. You know what I found out? It's so easy to turn off. Those things turn off. You just hold the button for a minute. It's off. It comes back on when you turn it on. Learn how to turn your phone off. It's really simple.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.